I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's so lovely to just reflect back on these things. And, you know, you would have interviewed hundreds of people now over the years, and, you know, so many different strategies, so many different geographies, so many different mindsets. What's resonated with you and what hasn't?
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Sharm, and in this special episode, I've turned the tables to share the details of my own property journey with Selena Kilkarni, asking the big questions. Not only will you hear about my property journey, you'll also gain insight into Property Investory's journey from passing thought to success, having passed 2.5 million downloads since its inception in 2017. Kilkarni and I swapped seats for this episode, where she fires the questions and I'm the one in the hot seat. While we initially met due to our shared love of property investing and discussing strategies, we've since formed a powerful friendship that involves a lot of property chat. While most of those discussions happen off mic, this one's a special treat for you, the listeners.
I have become a friend of Tyrone's over the last couple of years, and I've had the pleasure of really kind of getting to know him at a grassroots level, and he's such an incredibly sweet human being. And what Tyrone and I thought we would do on this podcast is actually swap seats, meaning I'm going to actually put him under the spotlight. And really, after years of running the number one podcast for property in Australia, I want to really unpack what is it that he's learned. What has the journey been like, and where is the direction that he's headed now? So, Tyrone, welcome to your podcast.
Thank you so much, Selena. I appreciate you being the person who could actually interview me, because I'm not usually a person who can get behind a podcast and just talk, you know, behind the scenes and stuff like that. I'm more the interviewer. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens.
I think a really good starting point is just to really get you to explain why did you start the podcast in the first place? Like, what was the motivation?
That's a really good question. I look back at it and I think back to the story. Back in 2015, 2016, I was working in a full-time job in a job that I was actually loving and really, really enjoyed. I was, you know, in the sort of the building industry, and I was within the marketing department there as one of the digital managers there. And I really, really was also looking for a way out as well too, because for me, even though I really loved what I was doing there, I was also looking at every week and every month, my paycheck was sort of just, I guess, hit the limit, and I wouldn't be able to earn any more than what I was, because that's what happens when you're working full time. The only way you could actually get an increase is to wait every year to get either a bonus or to increase by, you know, moving up a position. And that was not going to happen, because my boss was my next position up anyway. So unless he leaves, and he'd been there for more than 20 plus years, it was very unlikely that he was going to retire anytime soon. And he was still young, you know, he was still very, very young anyway. But what was really, really interesting was because I also was into a lot of podcasts, and I'd been listening to a lot of podcasts driving to work day in, day out. And, you know, I'd pop in an episode or maybe sometimes two each morning in the afternoon driving back from home. And I'd gain a lot of wisdom from a lot of the popular property podcasts out there. But the challenge that I faced was every single podcast I listened to was always about the how-to and really specific about people's property portfolios. They didn't really delve into the reasons why and also their story. And it didn't tell it in sort of a narrative form, which is what Property Investory does differently, is that we tell a story rather than, okay, let's just look at the facts and figures about, you know, how much your portfolio is worth, how many properties you've got, what's the rental income you're getting. It's very technical, very specific to sort of their property portfolio. And that was sort of something that sort of went, okay, I like that. I'm learning a lot, but I'm not really resonating with a lot of these, I guess, podcasts because there's no sort of why behind it. And I think the reason why a lot of these stories were not available is because no one actually really thought about doing it in that sense. And because I was also listening to different podcasts, such as like Freakonomics or How I Built This Podcast, and they're all narrated with very, very successful entrepreneurs, successful businesses, businesses like Virgin, like Richard Branson's, you know, people from Microsoft, you know, people, all those really, really successful people who have told their story. It really, really resonated with me, and it didn't necessarily talk about their numbers all the time. It talked about their journey to actually get from, you know, a small company to where it is, this multi-billion dollar company that they've been there. And that's what I wanted to sort of portray in that sense, was to get that kind of story. And I thought, oh, I'll just wait about a year or two and see, hope that someone might put it together. But after waiting and waiting and having that idea of, you know, a podcast in the back of my mind, no one did it. And I thought, all right, I'll give it a crack and see how it goes. Because ultimately, I think what I wanted to achieve was to learn something from all this as well. Because I had one, an interest in podcasting, but also too, I had a strong interest in property. And I thought, combine those two together and see how that goes. Because then at the same time, selfishly, I can learn something without having to go and seek all these experts and attend their seminars and, you know, attend all their courses and so forth. I could actually just invite them on and really ask them a lot of detailed questions that would be beneficial not only to me, but also to the audience that would be listening as well. And hence, that's how it kind of started. I really procrastinated for literally a year without doing anything. And I bit the bullet and just really jumped into it and started just reaching out to a lot of the past mentors I've had in property, people like Steve McKnight, you know, Brendan Kelly and so forth. And they kind of just helped me be able to sort of start that first initial interview. And I was really scared because one of my first interviews was with Chris Gray. And you know, he's quite well known in the property space, and he's an expert in that sense. And I was sitting behind in a dark room with a microphone and nervously shaking, going, you know, I wonder what Chris is going to share with me. And he was such a lovely, lovely guest to have on the show. And it kind of put me at ease when I actually interviewed him. And that's kind of where it all started, you know, having Chris Gray, then Steve McKnight and so forth, all these well-known experts. And it allowed me to be able to learn so much from that, because I was still at the beginning of my property investing journey, even though I had invested into property, but not at the extent of all these well-known experts in the market. And learning from them and then sharing it just kind of opened up a whole new world to me. So that's kind of, you know, the backstory behind how it got started.
Yeah, I love that. Well, look, I mean, if we describe or talk a little bit about your style, you've got a very long form style in general, you know, you tend to go very deep in terms of, you know, people's backgrounds, their stories, their why. You have basically just sought out people who were experts or property specialists in different strategies across the country. I'm curious to understand, like, you know, two parts. Number one, what was your kind of criteria or filter for having people on? And then the second part would be, you know, what would you list out as your top three lessons?
I'll answer that first one. Whoever could get on the podcast, I'd get them on.
Okay, so no filter.
No filter. There wasn't really a filter. It was more about, I guess, Who do I know that, you know, was successful in property? That was the first thing, you know, that they would have to have some track record of building property portfolio, because being a property podcast, you can't get anyone, you know, off the street and just interview about their story. I guess one of the main key things was that I wanted to tap into people well known in the market, especially those experts who have been appearing in media, have shared their stories, and that, you know, publicly well known, but also to that they'll be able to share a great story, because ultimately we know a lot of successful investors who have large portfolios, but they're not, I guess you can say, feeling confident to hop onto a podcast, because a lot of them, when I interview them, they feel a bit shy. They say to me, look, you know, this is my first time to do a podcast, but they've got like 20 or 30 properties, you know, in the portfolio. And I usually just say, it's just a conversation. You know, we're just chatting, just learning a little bit about, it's like you're talking to your next best friend and so forth. And I guess that's what I really, really wanted to be able to share with people, is that all the people that I've interviewed, they're everyday people. You know, even though they are in the media, they maybe, you know, have a very successful portfolio and so forth, they also live a very much of a normal life. The only difference is that they've just followed a very specific strategy. They've been very consistent with what they've done, and they've also set very, very strong goals, and they've just basically achieved those goals over a period of time. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of these well-known and successful property investors, they didn't have overnight success stories. They took many, many years, but you know, it's what we see in the media that they portray, that they've kind of had an overnight success story. And I think that's what I want to unpack for people, is that property investing or going through a property development journey or whatever you do in property, it takes time, and it is something that we or start to sort of unravel and see in these kind of different stories. So I guess in that sense, it was really looking for people who have had successful stories. I reached out to a lot of people who have been featured in magazines, property magazines in the past. And then from there, once I start getting a nice group of people on the podcast, you know, once we hit to about 50 or 60, the word started getting out, and a lot of people start reaching out, and then, you know, I guess the rest is history from there, because people start to know and they want to be featured on the podcast. So a lot of people reach out to us, and that's how we kind of started to get a lot of people coming on and sharing their stories as well too.
It's so lovely to just reflect back on these things, and you know, you would have interviewed hundreds of people now over the years, and you know, so many different strategies, so many different geographies, so many different mindsets. What's resonated with you and what hasn't?
It's really interesting, because I guess my journey has also involved a lot over the last 5 years since I've been doing the podcast, and also in my property investing journey as well too. And I guess when I first started, I interviewed a lot of people who had built up property portfolio. And because when we first started back in 2017, as you probably remember, that was sort of at another peak or boom cycle in the Sydney market, and probably across Australia as well too. And a lot of people were literally just, I guess, watching the growth of their properties that they bought maybe 5-10 years ago literally double in price within a few months, because that's what happens usually in a boom. It takes sometimes about 10 years for a cycle to happen, and you don't know at which point in that cycle when your price of property or values go up. So what happened was I interviewed a lot of people who were buy and hold property investors, and I learned a lot about those strategies. And one thing I didn't know when I first started was that you could actually buy a property, and you know, with the capital growth that you gain from that investment or your portfolio of properties, you can actually draw that equity out to go and buy another property. And that's how you leapfrog to the next one without having to necessarily save up for another deposit. Because as everyone has told me, that was the one biggest thing, is that the first property is always going to be the hardest, because that's when you're saving for your first deposit. But once you get your first property and you get your second and third, it becomes a lot easier, because I realized that you're actually using the equity from the other property to leverage, to move on, leapfrog, and so forth. And that's how a lot of property investors have been able to successfully buy 5, 10, 20 properties, because they've used leverage and also, let's say, the bank's money to be able to do that. Yes, there are additional costs and so forth to maintain and so forth, but if you actually do the numbers on the properties that you buy, particularly a lot of them that I've heard from in the past, they've bought positive invested properties, positive cash flow properties, they should be able to cover itself on a day-to-day maintenance perspective, and therefore you should be able to just hold on to these properties. So I interviewed a lot of those, and I guess when you compare the history of, say, 10, 20 years of properties back then, when they were like literally half the price, going back maybe $200,000, $300,000 per property to now where it is over $1 million. Yeah, you go, wow, you know, they could have bought 5, 10, 20 of these quite easily. Nowadays, I guess average property price is anywhere in the vicinity of a mil. Your strategy has to change, because not many people can go and afford to buy 5 to 10 of these kind of $1 million properties. So I think that was the biggest thing that I learned back then, was that it's possible to buy a lot of these properties, buy and hold them, and then basically draw the equity out and, you know, reinvest it and leapfrog to the next property. That was where I sort of started learning a little bit more about property investment. And that was one of the big kind of key aha moments, because you go, oh, wow, you know, if you get enough of these over a period of time, 10, 20 years, it will double in value. But what I didn't know, and this is where I guess I had some limiting beliefs, was the actual sourcing of funds. Because I was also interviewing a lot of people who were involved in property development as well too. And I think I had a big, big fear back then. We're going, okay, if I actually go out and find a great deal, I'm worried that I will not be able to fund that particular deal because I had this limiting mindset that I don't know anyone who actually has, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars who'd like to invest with me and trust me and put that in. And even if I go to my family and friends, I felt hesitant to do that because what happens if I got their money, put it into development and it didn't work? You know, all these kind of fears that bubbled up inside of me. Look at it today, I guess you can change it from 5 years ago to where my mindset is. I totally believe that if the deal is so good, the money will just flow. And that's what one of the property developers who I've been working with has been really successful. He's done like $30+ million worth of developments and has been extremely successful. His one key mantra is if you're looking for money, if your deal stacks up really, really well, the money will follow. And it is so true because I've experienced it so much, you know, especially the amount of deals that I've brought. As soon as I share it with people, people will just go, wow, I got to get in this and the money just flows. And I've done millions and millions of dollars worth of these already as it is. So that was one of the biggest fears that I had. And that's completely changed because over the course of discussing and speaking to successful property investors, successful property developers who've done multi-billion dollar projects, it's that little thing that doesn't worry them that much because ultimately that will work. What I think their mindset is at the end of the day when I've actually had these kind of longer conversations with them is that its key focus is 80% is in the mind. You need to actually focus on actually making the right mindset and ensuring that you fuel that mind with good, positive things that are related to what you wanted to achieve. You know, fuel your goals, make sure you're always revising your goals and just focus on trying to see how can you do that. Because rather than saying, no, it can't be possible, say why or how can you make it possible? And that's one of the big, big things that I've also learned across my journey as well. Coming up after the break, Kilcarney dives into the deep end with a controversial question.
When you interview, you know, as many investors as you have or experts as you have, you know, some people's strategies are going to resonate and others are not.
We discuss where investors may have the greatest success going forward.
I believe we're entering a world that's, you know, slightly turbulent or very turbulent, and that there's a lot of uncertainty.
She encourages me to share my tried and trusted strategy.
Over the last 12 to 18 months, you've really personally honed in on, you know, one particular strategy that you believe to be very effective in the market.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey property investor, is your cash or equity currently earning you 1 to 2% per annum sitting in the bank? What if I said to you that you can do better? To find out more, simply register your interest to become a money partner at propertyinvestory.com. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest to get a high return with low risk on their money for 6 months. Register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Kilcarney isn't one to shy away from hard-hitting questions. Trying her hand at investigative journalism, she pries into my thoughts on the range of strategies I've heard over the years.
You know, when you interview, you know, as many investors as you have or experts as you have, you know, some people's strategies are going to resonate and others are not. Have there been any instances where you've interviewed people and you've just thought, no, that doesn't make sense or I don't agree? Obviously, in the role that you've had, you're there to showcase rather than commentate. So I'd love to get some insights, some secret squirrel insights.
There's been plenty of times. I mean, I've interviewed over 300 guests already. So I don't know how many hours I spent on the podcast, but it's been a lot. I could definitely say that. And from all those experiences and speaking to so many people, I'd have to probably say in the first year or couple of years, as you said, I was more showcased and really just sitting in the back and just listening and learning and so forth. And I didn't really commentate much because I wanted the people to shine. And even today, I don't really say too much, except if I do have something to add value to, I will add into the conversation. But a lot of times I just sit back and yeah, let them just share their story. And some of the strategies I've heard, or actually most of the strategies I've heard, have been making sense. And it is also, in my opinion, some of these strategies are very much what have been happening in the past that's worked. And a lot of them still do work in that's happened in the past, such as a buy and hold strategy or buy and renovate and hold strategy, etc. But I guess you also need to have a look at what's happened in the current state of the market and how property prices have also changed as well too. And some of these strategies may not be as applicable as they were. So I guess what kind of changed in what my thought, my mindset was, because if I was to go ahead and start, you know, from today's day one and start buying and holding properties, yes, that will work, but that's going to take me anywhere between 10 to 20 years. I'm still young, but I'm saying if I was to actually implement a strategy like that, I'll be waiting forever and I'll be having to continue to work to fund these kind of properties. Whereas having these further conversations with you, Selena, and also looking at alternative strategies, it's opened up a whole new world where you can actually accelerate, and instead of not necessarily just buy and hold, but you buy and hold and also invest in alternative strategies to be able to accelerate the growth of your portfolio. So coming back to your question, one of the strategies that I still don't resonate too much is the buy and hold strategy, because in order to be able to afford to buy that many properties, say you need 10, 20 properties, it will take you a while to be able to build that up. And not only that, there's a lot of maintenance across it. You know, I recently interviewed another investor who had over 30 plus properties, and it sounds glamorous all in all, and he's making a lot of money. His property portfolio is doubling in value. He's got a lot of income come in. But he said to me, there's so many headaches because you have to manage so many people, so many tenants. It just becomes, you know, to the point where he actually had to have a full-time property manager within his own business to be able to manage all those properties. And even though that you know, it's successful and so forth, you have to also understand people don't reveal all these kind of behind the scenes of what happens in there, because all these things that do happen is glamorous on the front. You know, great to have a multi-million-dollar property portfolio, great to have all these tenants, all this income coming in. But when you look at the day-to-day operations of it, even though if you may have a property manager, every day he'd had at least two or three people calling about something that's broken. You know, and this is part of the maintenance of a property portfolio that you have to maintain. And over the years, speaking to different types of experts and different investors, a lot of them have decided, look, I'd rather put maybe my capital into, say, commercial property, which is where I start looking down further as well, because one, you can have longer leases, locking them in for a longer term. You have stable income that's coming in because, you know, their business, you know, you don't have such a high turnover of that. And also on top of that, maintenance is very low because once they run their own business, they're responsible to maintain their properties as well too, ultimately at the end of the day. So I think it's a balance of both. And I don't know if I can say a specific point right now, but I have seen the ins and outs, and I've also seen the ins and outs of property development as well. And I've been through that process as well. And yeah, it really, really depends on where your comfort level is, and also depends on your risk appetite, and furthermore, how much time, you know. And I think that's the key thing, is if I was single without a family and I you know, had all the time to myself, I could definitely go out and you know, buy 20, 30 properties. And a lot of the stories I've spoken to from that perspective, yes, that's what a lot of those investors have done, because before they had the kids, had their family, they just went out and bought a lot of properties. But once they had children, family changes, all that kind of stuff happens. It's not, I'm saying it's not impossible to do or near impossible, but it is going to change the impact where your trajectory is. And I'm a good example because, you know, having kids and so forth like that also impacts and changes the way you can actually spend time to invest as well. So I guess, you know, I've kind of gone a long rounded way to sort of explain this, but ultimately everyone has their own individual journeys. And I can't say that everyone's journey hasn't been impactful on me, because I've been able to gain all these insights into different people and also be able to put into sort of what I've come to where I am today.
With the benefit of all the wisdom that you've gleaned, I'd love to ask you what your views are on, you know, the world ahead. And when I say that, you know, you've sort of already highlighted that there are a bunch of strategies that, you know, maybe worked really well 20 years ago, maybe aren't working as well now, or that maybe are harder to execute on now. I believe we're entering a world that's, you know, slightly turbulent or very turbulent, and that there's a lot of uncertainty. Given all of the wisdom that you've gleaned over the last few years, where do you see investors having the greatest success in the years ahead? That might be a really hard question, but yeah, I just love your thoughts.
The first thing in my experience, and I'm going to glean back on what I've done in the past as well, is education. Before jumping into any type of investment, before jumping into buying anything or doing anything with regards to the property itself, I made sure that I put a lot of time and effort into learning first, because I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the last, say, 5-10 years of investing is that, even look back at all the mistakes that I've made, the biggest thing I didn't do was to actually do enough, one, due diligence, and also understanding of how things work. Because if I had known all the information I had now, as I stand today, 10 years, 20 years ago, I would have done a completely different strategy and a different way of actually approaching things. And it's because I didn't spend or put enough time into it, because maybe I, back then, being a uni student, I was very limited in the funds, so I couldn't spend too much time and money in going to these courses and so forth. But I think the key thing is to educate yourself, because the thing is that it's easier to be able to go and speak to the people. There are plenty of people out there who are willing to sell your property. There are plenty of buyer's agents. There are plenty of courses that you can go to. And you know, they will be able to offer you fantastic deals. They're everywhere around you. Every single day there's an opportunity. I can guarantee you that. And I've seen that, you know, in my whole journey. But the thing that makes it different for anyone is, if you don't have a clear strategy, you don't have clear goals, you don't know what you're planning to do on that path of your property investment journey, it's very easy just to fall into the trap and just buying everything and anything that you see. It's like chasing after shiny objects. And I fall into that trap many times. You know, I've seen that happen in everything I do. You know, I see something that looks amazingly brand new, it's shiny, and it's going to do the wonders for my business, like a new tool and stuff. I'll go and buy it because it works really well. But then once you actually get over all that glee and all that excitement, you realize, oh, is that tool actually necessary? Do I really need that? And it's the same thing with property. You got to ask yourself, if you go and buy, say, 10 properties, and then after that, you realize, hold on, that's actually not the strategy that I was wanting. I actually want cash flow, but I don't want capital growth. Then, you know, you spent all that time doing it. So I think the key thing is one, seek assistance and guidance from an educator who doesn't have any biased opinion about which type of property you buy, because that's the key thing. There are a lot of people out there educating and saying, you know, I'll educate you and I'll provide you a wealth plan and so forth, but I'll also recommend you to buy this property. I would try and stay away from those type of people. And I think that's where my sort of, I guess, experience comes in, because at the end of the day, you want that particular educator to be just independent advice. And by seeking that independent advice, you'll have a very unbiased point of view and they'll look at what your situation is. So that's one thing, education. Second thing is make sure you have a clear plan and goals set in place. If you have that, then laying out and implementing the plan is going to be very, very easy. Because if you don't know where you're heading, it's like, you know, driving down the road with your blinkers on and, you know, looking in the rearview mirror. You're definitely going to be crashing into something. So it's the same thing with property. If you don't have a clear direction and vision, you're going to definitely hit into something and you'll get to a point going, gosh, I don't know what to do next. And that's what usually happens. Once people buy 5, 6, 10 properties and they hit, a position where they can't borrow more money or they don't know what to do next, that's where the plan comes in place to be able to help you move forward. And then I guess finally, surround yourself with a really good team. That's key. And I always, being growing up in a family who's always reliant on doing things themselves, my father always did his own stuff in his business. He never seemed to rely too many people because he just thought that people weren't achieving what he wanted to achieve. I've learned completely opposite, because the fact is that without the right people in place and trustworthy people that you've got to work with, you just can't do the property journey alone. Like, property itself has so many components, from managing the property to buying the property to, you know, helping you sell the property, even to the stage of actually managing the finances, speaking to your accountant, speaking with your legal team, all that requires expertise and advice. And if you can tap into the right or really, really good trustworthy resources like those people, then you really, really will be able to have a great, you know, I guess, foundation to be able to move forward. And I can tell you, between Selena and myself, we have a very strong team around us that actually we go back to, like, trust advisors and also very, very good people who can actually provide us with the different perspectives, because ultimately it'd be your choice or your decision at the end of the day when you actually go out to invest and not, you know, the people that you're actually relying on those. Yes, you get advisors, but ultimately you've got to take that advice and then make your own decision. So that's something I think is key before you jump in and start investing and buying any property.
That was gold, Tyrone. I really appreciate and agree with everything that you're saying there. I think just a last question that I've got, which I think would be of great interest to everyone listening, is over the last 12 to 18 months, you've really personally honed in on, you know, one particular strategy that you believe to be very effective in the market. I wonder if you could just explain what it is and why that's where you landed, given everything that you've ingested over the last few years with all the strategies and all the experts. You've become master at one particular strategy, and I'd love to get some insight into that.
Well, let me tell you a story behind it and how I got there, because that was sort of frame why I've gone down. Because I could easily tell you what the strategy is and people will go, yeah, that sounds really great and sexy and all. But it's not as simple as that, because you've got to get to that point, and hence the reason why every interview I've done, I actually wanted to actually go back to where people have started, because then it actually shows all the learned lessons and reveals, you know, how they got there. Because it's great to get to where I am now, and I'm really, really happy where I am. We're in a really good place. But to get to that point took a lot of time. And I remember when I was much younger, and I think probably a good 5 to 10 years, I was reading through Rich Dad Poor Dad's book by Robert Kiyosaki, which I think a lot of people have heard. And, you know, one thing he said is, the key thing that resonated with me is to remember about using the compounding effect or compound interest. And what I tried to do was go out to the market and just try and find a place where I could just plonk my money and put, you know, some money in there and try and get like a 10% return. You know, if I could get 20, it would be fantastic, which is what, you know, Robert says in his book. Sometimes it's possible to get that over in the States and so forth. But everywhere I looked, I couldn't find it. I only found like 5%, 6% and so forth. Interestingly enough, after a period of time, I found another, I guess you can say fund, you can say, which at that time was fantastic, because I think it was providing about 10% return per annum. So I invested into that, you know, just put maybe about 10K or something like that when I was younger, back in university days, which was a lot of money for me, and thinking, yep, great. You know, I'll get a monthly payment, and also I get the payment, the principal back at the end of the term, which was a 12-month term. Unfortunately, after about 3 months, that fund went bust. It was actually a development that was a shopping center out towards, you know, Western Sydney this way. And unfortunately, yeah, I lost all my money in that one too. So it is possible to find the deals, but you've also got to look around and do your due diligence, because I basically was just sold on the fact that it was a high return, but I didn't do my research enough. And that's where I kind of got stuck. Now, going forward, maybe a decade later, I was doing the podcast. I was introduced to a lot of guests. And as you know, interviewing so many people, you meet so many, I guess, potential opportunities as well too. And I work with coaches and so forth. And they'd always refer me to people. And one of my trusted coach or advisor, she actually referred me to a good friend of hers, and also for me, it was also a very, very well-known, successful developer in the space. He was actually a renovator developer. And she said, look, it would be great for you to team up with him, because he's got expertise in the development space. He knows what to do to, you know, subdivide land, do renovations on houses, and then sell and so forth. You've got a fantastic group of lenders or investors who are ready to, I guess, put money into joint venture deals. And, you know, because we did have a lot of people who were interested in actually doing JVs, I basically put the deal together, and I had a JV partner, myself, to facilitate it. And then, you know, the developer to actually do the subdivision. And this first development was my first, you know, foray into property development itself, like literally to buy a property, subdivide it into one into two, and then renovate the front. And this was up in Palm Woods in Queensland. Now, it all started, you know, really, really well, really rosy, and the investor was very happy because it was getting updates and so forth, and everything was running on track and on time. And this was back in 2019, April 2019 to be exact. That's when we purchased the property, and it was anticipated to be all done by about 9 months, maximum 12 months or so. We got to about month seven or so, and we started hitting some roadblocks because the council was delaying the subdivision. Getting all that kind of paperwork done was just taking a lot longer. And by about month nine to about month 10, we actually had the property finished, renovated, minimal cost, and we're looking to anticipate to make a nice profit on top of what we thought the profit was, an extra 100K. And because the market was booming up there, it was looking fantastic. And we thought, great, you know, we could definitely sell and put on the market. But due to all the delays in council, we couldn't get our titles and so forth. And by about month 12, which was April 2020, I don't know if I should put drum roll in here, but everyone I think knows COVID, the pandemic hit. And unfortunately, as soon as we put it on the market, it just went like crickets. Absolutely no one actually wanted to come and see it because everyone was in lockdown, everyone's scared, and they didn't know what to do. So that particular property just sat on the market, and we literally took it off just for a couple months just to see what would happen. And everyone wasn't even sure what was going to happen. So in the end, after about an extra 12 months later, we literally sold that property back in April 2021. We didn't make any money on that as a developer and a joint venture myself. The investor got his money back because we had a fixed return. So we said, no matter what would happen, we'd pay you regardless. So if we have to put money out ourselves, we would. Luckily, we didn't have to. There's still a bit of money left, and we paid out whatever the return was. And that kind of explained to me, wow, you know, anything can happen in development. And especially with the pandemic that just threw the spanner in the works, it changed the trajectory of how this potential property development could work. Now, luckily, at that same point in time, because I was not just doing just one deal, I was doing multiple deals at the same time, I was able to jump into another particular deal, which was down in Victoria, in Roeville. And this was also referred to me by my coach, who offered me a position to, I guess, or not position, but an investment opportunity to jump in there at about, it was about, I think, November 2021, or sorry, 2020. And in that point in time, he said to me, look, you just need to put in a couple hundred thousand dollars, which we did with another investor. And the reason why he needed that money at that point in time was because one of his relatives unfortunately passed away. It just happened all of a sudden. And he was literally selling 2 weeks' time and he needed money very quickly. So I was able to pull that together and help him. So that was an interesting one. I went into that one, one into four lot subdivision down in Roeville, Victoria. And after that period of time, about 6 months or so, the developer called me. And guess what he said to me around about April 2020 as well too?
What's that?
He said to me, look, Tyrone, I know pandemic's hit, you know, it's a challenging time, but I've got a fantastic offer for you. Another developer wants to buy us out. And he said, look, I'll pay you whatever, you know, we were supposed to be promised for 12 months. I'll pay you that, you know, in April, which is literally 6 months. And true to his word, he came back to me and we got literally paid out at that point in time. And guess what? That was my first deal that was successful that was in alternative investment space where I just lent my money out and I got a fixed return in basically a lending space. So at that point in time, I could see the two differences between doing a property development versus doing just lending money out as a lender or, you know, as an investment and just having a fixed return, which gave me more confidence to say, okay, I'm going to fix my term rather than say in for 12 months, 18 months for whatever the development is, I only go in for that short period of time. And that's kind of where it led me into this path of looking at alternative strategies. And since then, I've done multiple of these, done more than about 15 now, 15 or 20 of these type of deals over the last almost 18 months as well too. And it's been phenomenally organically grown so successfully that as I said to you at the beginning of the podcast, if the deal's so good, people will come, the money will just come. And that's literally what's happened, the organic growth of it without too much... I haven't done really any promotion except just share it with my database and share it on the podcast. Things have turned out phenomenally well. So that's kind of where the background story is, where I've landed to. And now all my focus is at this point in time is to, I guess, find deals that make up really, really good returns and just keep growing the capital and keep compounding that capital. And if you can do this every 6 months, every 12 months, you know, and a very good return anywhere in the vicinity of 20% upwards, you can grow your capital very, very quickly, which is what I've been able to do. And in a very short space of time, you know, I've got a lot of my capital deployed, generating income and working very, very hard for me.
What do you see as the future for you personally, like with this podcast? Is it going to change shape, or, you know, how has the last 18 months shaped your worldview of wealth and wealth building?
I've always been true to the podcast in the sense that we had a vision that we initially started is to say, look, everything that we do is to help and inspire and to provide amazing stories of property investors to the listeners. You know, and that's always been the goal. And my goal was to impact a million listeners, which I've done already, which is fantastic. And, you know, for them to be able to hear amazing stories. I, as I said to you at the beginning, did it because I was really, really keen and had a strong interest to learn from others. Now, for me, it's all about sharing amazing stories so people can also learn and, you know, get involved and just even get their start on their journey. Because as we know, there's only a very small percentage of the Australian population that are investing into property. And even though property is sort of a pastime, a lot of people like to talk about it, not many people are very, very knowledgeable in it. And even though there's a lot of experts in the market who say they are good at it, there may be also some other people who are not so good at it. So that's why I think I just wanted to show to people through real conversations, real stories, that a lot of people have succeeded, but also you can learn from the, you know, mistakes and lessons, and at the same time, maybe leapfrog ahead so you don't have to make those kind of same mistakes. And that's what I've learned. You know, I was initially buying a lot of property when I was starting, and subleasing and so forth like that. But that strategy didn't work for me because I was only focused on cash flow. But now what I'm learning about is to focus on building the capital, which is future generation wealth, and then eventually turning that, I guess, capital base into future income, which is also what I'm doing as well too. So that's kind of the future of what I'm doing at this point in time, is to continue to do that, build up a nice base. And then I guess first and foremost for me is really, you know, support my family, ensure that they've got a financially, stable. And then I guess to help also all the listeners and share more and more of these kind of stories, and love to have more guests on the show. You know, I guess that won't change. I just love what I do in terms of the podcast. Thank you to Selena Kilkani for joining me to discuss my personal investment journey and the podcast's past, present, and future on this special episode of Property Investory. I hope you liked it. And if you love the show and are ready to get serious about investing your money to get a low risk, high return, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a money partner. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest their money for a short 6 months. To register interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.